today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
There will be times of denial, self-denial, where we don't do what we want to do. We won't do it the way we wanted to do it. We won't look the way we wanted to look. But we will become everything God wants us to become. He says, he who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Finding your life is, I have found my niche. I have found my group. I have found my circle. You got to lose it.
Deeper and deeper.
If our God is the Prince of Peace, then why does the Word tell us that Jesus will bring division? If you have family members or friends that reject Jesus, they may reject you as well. The path to follow Him is narrow, and many don't want to travel it. But as we'll hear today, he who loses his life for Him will find it. Now make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of today's broadcast. Now open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Let's join Pastor Troy for our continuing study entitled, We Are in a Battle for Souls.
I wanted to believe, and yet nobody know it. You know, just, hey, I'm cool, you know. What do you think about this? Well, I think there's some Christians, they're a little right wing, but here's what I got to say about it. Young Christian counseling people, not knowing the scriptures. But as I've grown, one thing I have found out is that you become more like Christ. You really do. You see, you become like who you identify with. If you want to be a banker, you look at the classes bankers take. You look at the course, the track. How do they dress? Okay, that's professional. That's what, okay, they look at this. They don't like, they do. Okay, then let's get that. The red tie, okay, let's go for it. You move and you gravitate toward what you want to be identified with. So, look at us and we can see some sense of what we're identifying with. Right? The newscasters. Some of the newscasters, if you were to listen to them speak off camera, they don't sound anything like that. They've got accents, you know, whatever the case may be, slang that they use. But on camera, so that it's open for everyone, so everyone can hear, they speak proper, they speak well, they speak clear. They take classes to be able to do that. So they're enunciating properly and doing all of that. As a Christian, it seems that God is working to cause us to be less identified with the world, more identified with Christ. That we become conformed into the image of His Son on the inside first. But as you know, when the insides begin to change, the outsides begin to reflect. At least that's been my experience. I have changed a lot. So the battle lines are drawn. Who do you want to be identified with? In Rome, once a year, when you talk about being identified with someone, every year, to make sure that there was allegiance to Caesar and to Rome, they would go around, the magistrates would go from city to city, town to town, and they would bring an offering and incense and all the stuff and set it up like our little voting polls. And the people would have to come, everyone would have to come, take a pinch of incense, throw it in the fire and worship and go, Caesar is Lord. And now, okay, you're good. Just to make sure that there was allegiance to Caesar. The Christians, as they began to realize we cannot proclaim Caesar as Lord. We can't even identify ourselves as being those who say Caesar is Lord. So instead of going in and going, you know, let's just make a pact. I know we don't mean it in our hearts. We're good people in our hearts. But in public, right there, we still want to be cool with everybody. So we'll just say, Caesar's Lord there. But we don't believe it. We have good hearts. No, it looks like that on the outside there, but inside. But they couldn't do that. There was a conviction inside that caused it to come on the outside. So even to the point of death, they would say, Jesus is Lord. I can't do it. That's the work of God in a life. Bringing us to that place where we really can be a proclaimer and not be a denier by our lives. Whoever confesses, I will confess. Whoever denies, I will deny. Sharing this information, making these changes, becoming more like Christ, guess what? These could actually cause division. Yeah, in your social circles, in your families, and look what he says in verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He didn't come to bring peace. And I know that gets some of our wheels turning here. Because many will go, well, I thought he is the Prince of Peace. And when the angels came, didn't they say to the shepherds, peace on earth, goodwill toward men? So what about that peace? Well, let me just explain that peace. In this world, there's division taking place because there are two sides. There are two worlds vying for souls. So there won't be peace because there can't be there. However, the peace he's talking about is peace with God. Did you realize that every single human being was an enemy of God? We were his enemies. Scripture says that while we were his enemies, or sinners, his enemies, those who had turned his back on him, doing our own thing, independent of him, while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. And you might think, well, I'm not really an enemy. Or maybe you don't think your sin is bad enough to call you an enemy. It's because you don't understand what God calls sin. You're thinking in terms of bad deeds. Bad deeds are just the fruit of being a sinner. That's not the sin. The sin is you don't want him to lord over your life. In the garden, he was Lord. Then they made a decision and they decided for themselves right and wrong. From that point forward, that's what's gone on in our lives. We decide. I decide what's right and wrong. I set the rules. I do not want a Lord establishing right and wrong for me. So, I don't want your Jesus. And that's been the sin that keeps people from salvation. But what they don't realize is he's a good God. This is nothing. And he does say, lay down your life. Yes. Because this stuff isn't what it's all about. We should be able to give up anything, denying ourselves, picking up our cross. But look at it this way. If you were to commit a crime in this country against the government, then you could actually flee the country, go to another country, and take asylum. If they will take you in and protect you and say, look, he's in our country, we've got him, then yes, the government would not do anything to you. You could buy a house on the beach in that government, in that new government that you're in, that world you're living in. You could kick back on the beach and enjoy life. Life is good. Who needs salvation? Who needs to repent? And in that case, you could actually die there, never having been judged by the government that you violated. However, we as offenders of the kingdom of heaven, some think they're on their beach. Life is good. I don't need to go and they can get him out of their mind. They can be far removed from him. I'm not going to churches. I'm not around Christians. I like to go where non-Christians are. You're far removed from the fact that you are guilty and you have violated the kingdom of heaven. But here's the difference in the scenario I told you about and in the real scenario. In the scenario I told you about, they died there and they died on the beach and they never had to answer. But the Bible tells us that one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There is a day where all of us will be brought into the kingdom and judged and gone one of two ways. You can't hide and just die and think you're going to be okay having been spending your whole life on the beach, distant from any God. I don't need him. Life is good. It just won't happen. One day, the truth will be revealed. And he talks about, I came to bring a sword. The sword he's talking about is the sword of his word, the truth. The truth that divides, the truth that pierces your heart, tells you that there's something wrong, that there's something missing. In the end, in Revelation, we see that Jesus comes back. And it says he's got a flaming sword. Man, that's some freaky stuff in the end times. But the picture is this. Jesus, at one time in the Gospels, says, I didn't come to judge this time. My word, which proceeds from my mouth now, will judge in the end. And so in the end, when we see him coming back, and there's that flaming sword, that's the picture. He's coming back. Not like this time where the sword pierces and convicts, like, oh, that was hard. I got to change something. No, then it's too late. The sword will crush. The truth will grind. The truth will bring people into that place of wrath. The sword is truth. It convicts. That's why some don't like to sit in Bible teaching, like, that's too deep, you know, Bible teaching churches, because they don't like to sit in a place where they feel like the pastor's talking to them. I've been there. I know, like, who told this guy about, where's my wife at? Did she tell? I know what that's like. I think sometimes, did they tell the pastor? Does he know? I don't know. My wife and I hardly share stuff. Like, really? Our kids did that? No, not that distant, but we don't share all the information. And so there are times someone could say, you know, we've got an incident in the church and can we take care of it? To me, I pray, we take care of things. But I'm not going, oh, John Smith, okay. Oh, Jane, okay. So that on Sunday, I'm like, John Smith needs this. John Smith? And I'm not doing that. I can barely remember. Ask Beth Ann. She's my memory anymore, it seems like. I can barely remember what I did last week. Was I up here last week? Where was I? Was I out of town? Where was I? It's the word of God that pierces. It really does. Test it. Test it. Without me being there, go home and read your Bible. I'd be like, oh man, it's saying the same thing. Because it's the word of God. It brings division. It separates even families. And we're not talking about battles with the in-laws. I mean, family members who were once close to each other. Because one has caught on, man, they're catching on fire. They want to grow in the Lord. And the others don't. It starts to bring division in the home. It really does. As you seek to grow, don't expect everyone you're close to now to be happy about it, even in your Christian circles. Some are comfortable with where they're at. Hey, we're defenders. We're just in the back lines, watching the battle. If it comes, I'll say, hey, I claim. But other than that, I like to sit in the back where it's safe. Well, I want to grow. Don't you judge me. You go ahead and grow. Oh, it's great, man. We're growing. And the Lord's doing this. And don't you judge me. And they just don't want to grow. And they will cause division. But I'm going to encourage you, grow. Go for it. Run the race. God's given you fuel. He wants to pour out His Holy Spirit into your life. And He wants to change things. Yes, but it's for your good. It's so that you can excel in the things of God. Don't worry about the division. And on that note of separating and families dividing, I just want to encourage anyone in here who may not be married right now not to get involved in relationships with unbelievers. your heart, you're emotional. All of us are. And so once you get emotionally attached, it is very hard to break that emotional attachment. Almost impossible, except for God. You're just so tied, depending on your personality. Some are more needy than others. So you get attached. And it can cause great pain. But if you just focus on the Lord, you walk in the Lord, you go towards the Lord, then you will finally run into someone going the same direction. And God will bring you two together and you will be good for each other instead of one pulling the other back. Run your race and trust the Lord. If you prioritize finding a mate, a spouse, if that's your priority, you are going to compromise on the walk. I mean, you'll bring it down to the lowest level. Just, are you a Christian? Oh, I don't know if I'd go that far. Well, have you ever gone to church? I went once. Was it a Baptist church? That's good enough. Yeah. And it won't matter what their walk is like. You'll find out that they really aren't a Christian. But it was good enough for you. That's all you're looking for. And the story I get as the pastor is always this. Oh, yeah, I know. He's not walking completely with the Lord, but he's a Christian. He loves the Lord. He's sold out. He just hasn't found a church yet. The same story all the time. So make sure that your relationships are found along the way of your pushing in to know the Lord and grow in Him. I have seen way too many fall away because of a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Too many. We're not even a big church. I mean, I've seen it in our church. I'm not talking out there. So the question I think he has is, which life will you hold on to? Which life is more important to you? He says, if you love father or mother more than me. I mean, he gets really personal. Not just your friends, not just your style, not just your image. If you love any of this more than me, you're not worthy of me. There's no way to follow me. So he says, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow him. See, as a soldier in his army, if you're really in, there will be times of denial, self-denial, where we don't do what we want to do. We won't do it the way we wanted to do it. We won't look the way we wanted to look. But we will become everything God wants us to become. He says, he who finds his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Finding your life is, I have found my niche. I have found my group. I have found my circle. You got to lose it. Which is more important? This is a battle for souls. But look at verse 40 and through 42. He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. A couple of closing thoughts. One, your work, the things that he asks you to do, is not about you. It's an extension of his heart. He wants you to pray with someone. He wants you to confront someone in sin, biblical sin, where you can read it. Not your opinion, not something you don't like, but the Bible. You can bring the Bible and show them something that has offended you, something that you see that doesn't line up with their lives. And God has prompted you. Then do those things because it is God's heart that you carry. God wants to do those things. And we need to do what God is telling us to do. If they receive you, they receive him. If they reject you, well, they reject him. Jesus said to Paul, or Saul at the time when he was persecuting the church, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He hadn't lifted a hand to Jesus. He was persecuting Christians. But that's how personal Jesus makes it. He's persecuting Jesus in the sense that, look, they're my hands and my feet. You're hitting my hands, my feet, my shoulders. You're hitting my heart. You're hitting me. That's what we become as we obey him. The battle is his. You do the work, but don't worry about the results. That's key. You're not a failure. Don't worry about results. You just do what he wants you to do, and then rest easy and know you've been a faithful servant of the Lord and your rewards are in heaven. But he is the one who works on the hearts. And by the way, your work will be rewarded. No work that you do for the Lord, even if it's just a simple sacrifice, talked about leaving your tip on the table, you know, just, and God convicts you, you know, you cheapskate, that's 50 cents, you know. And he says, put another dollar out there. The girl was doing good, and I want to minister. And you did say, God bless you. Nothing like seeing a cheap Christian, you know. So, oh man, another dollar, man. And you throw it out there. The goal is not to go out and proclaim, I glorify the Lord. I want 100-fold for that dollar. No, no, no. Just to go out there and know your rewards are in heaven. There's nothing you do, even when no one knows you're doing it, that God won't give you more. You know, Peter, the apostles, the disciples at the time, said to Jesus, Lord, how important they were. We have left all to follow you. And Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present age and in the age to come eternal life. It's strange to hear some talk about how much they gave up to serve the Lord. I could have been rich. I had money. I could do these things, and I just gave up all that. Now I'm doing this. I don't make much. It's enough to live on, but that's it. But I could have been doing that, but because I love the Lord. And they're building themselves up. Look, what did you really give up? Hell. He gave up hell. No purpose. Yeah, you had all the money. You had no purpose. Leave it to who? Well, somebody. But now you have purpose, which fills way more than anything else the world has to offer. We don't make all that big a sacrifice. In fact, no one has sacrificed more than Jesus. Jesus gave his life physically. He left heaven. I don't know if that being beaten was obviously a low point. But I mean, just to come and be born and be clothed with flesh from deity, you know. So step down. I think we've used the illustration of maggots before. It'd be like you and I. They're disgusting, right? John, I want you to go down and be a maggot. I don't know about being a maggot. That's what I want you to do, to go be a maggot. And so you go down and you become a maggot, but there's more to the plan. You're going to be the lowest maggot, and the other maggots, they're going to take you and they're going to beat you. And put you on a little maggot cross. So you're going to help me. And you could go, that's pretty humble. Right? I mean, the beating is going to hurt. I mean, at this point, you're not even thinking about the beating on the cross. You're just thinking about, I'm going to be a maggot? I don't know about that one. Well, Jesus did that. And so, yes, he could go to the cross. It was the final act of his love for you and I. We're in the midst of a battle for souls. He didn't come to make us good people or moral people or nice people or passive people. He came to draw a line in the sand that people were to cross. You're in or you're not in. And that line separates even families. But no one who crosses the line will ever give up more than he receives in the end. Every sacrifice is worth it. You got to believe it. Got to believe that. It's true. You will be losing your rewards in heaven that you could be earning right now. There's no greater investment than deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus with all your heart. It is the greatest investment of your life.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
Well, that's all the time we have for today here on Building on the Solid Rock with Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. Don't forget to join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. You can listen to or download any of our messages in their entirety by visiting our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. At our website, we also provide information about our beliefs, service times, as well as directions to our church. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can simply email your questions or comments to info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that email address is info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and would like to visit us, Calvary Chapel Solid Rock is located at 17018 Silverwood Drive in North Central San Antonio. Thank you for being with us today. Please join us next time as we continue our study through the Gospel of Matthew.
And I wonder why. I wonder why. And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.